Volleyball gets a huge win versus an old foe. Football bounces back in Mitchell, and men's soccer gets a big win versus the reigning champs. Hello and welcome to episode 18 of Talkin' Dogs. I'm Cohen Carpenter here with Kai Ulbrich. Kai, how you doing?
Doing really good today. Feels good to get that big win last night.
Yeah. Northwestern was the big game that men had against the, obviously, they were the champions last year, but the women also had a very exciting game. Obviously, dice didn't roll the way we wanted them to, but how many goals were scored in that?
7 goals in that game.
Goodness gracious.
An absolute thriller for sure.
Yeah, so a touchdown between both teams. How did that happen?
Right. So, yeah, we'll start with the Northwestern game, then we'll jump back in time a little bit to their win over York. But yesterday, they ended up going up 1-0. So they scored 1-0 going into halftime. They kept their lead for the whole first half. And then right after halftime is when the tide started to turn for the worse a little bit. So we had the kickoff for the second half, so our ball. We ended up playing a long one over the top, trying to get through and score early. Turned out we were not the ones who were going to score early. Northwestern actually picked it up and took it right back the other way. Got a goal after 22 seconds. Just 22 seconds
so
into the second half.
So after the half started, 22 seconds,
yeah,
they got a goal.
Yeah, the clock said 44:38 on it.
So at that point, it was even, 1-1?
Yeah, 1-1. And it got worse.
So one goal total was scored in the first half, and there ended up being 7 total for the game.
Yes, and okay. They all happened very close to each other.
Okay, so we're 1-1 with 44 seconds gone in the second half, and then what?
22
gone. Seconds, sorry.
Yeah. So then about 2 minutes later, Northwestern picks the ball up right on the edge of our box, hits a really nice shot, ends up hitting off the crossbar.
Yeah.
Our defender goes to clear it out with her head, but a Northwestern player jumps in front of her, gets the ball, and our defender ends up knocking her in the air, penalty kick.
Oh,
so ended up
no.
Fouling in the box. It was a good penalty, so that's 2-1 now.
Yeah.
We're still only about 3 minutes gone in the second half.
Okay.
About 2 minutes after that,
goodness gracious,
they get the ball down the right side. They end up beating the outside back and hitting a nice shot into the top left corner. 3-1 now.
Yeah.
Still only about 5 minutes into the second half. At this point, you know, me and my teammates, we got to make our way down to the locker room to get ready for our
game. Yeah,
you got
to get ready, yep.
But while we're on our way down, so they scored the third goal,
okay.
Northwestern. We start moving. Where you go down onto the track and start walking. While we're still on the track, Northwestern scores again.
Oh my gosh.
They ended up taking a nice shot from the right side into the bottom right-hand corner. Nothing the keeper could really do on that one.
Yeah.
Just a nice shot. So then we're kind of like shocked a little bit. You know, you don't usually see 4 goals in 8 minutes.
Yeah.
In a soccer game or really any game except basketball.
Yeah, right. That's, you could say that for most sports, I think.
Yeah. But then by the time we get to the doors of the Waltz complex, so
okay.
the outside doors,
yeah.
We pull one back.
And
so it's
4-2
now.
It's 4-2.
Yeah, so there had been 5 goals in just about 9 minutes.
Wow.
Insane. Absolutely
yeah,
insane
poor,
from that.
Poor Coach Smith probably had a heart attack
oh
out there on the field.
If we were having a heart attack watching, I can only imagine what he was feeling on the bench there.
Yeah.
But then they ended up pulling one more back before the end of the game, but it just wasn't quite enough.
So they got it within one.
They got it within one. We actually outshot them by quite a bit. It was 18 shots for the Bulldogs to just 8 from Northwestern. Obviously, they had a 50% shot to goal ratio, which
yeah.
is quite insane.
Uh-huh.
Ours not quite as good, but our goal scorers were Savannah Andrews with her first goal of the season. That was the one in the first half. It
sure.
was off a corner. She got a nice head on to it. And then familiar name Kirsten Gardner got the other 2 for us.
Who else?
Yeah. Unfortunately, not enough to pull them over the line, I guess, at the end. They
yeah.
were piling on the pressure towards the end of the match. But
sounds like it.
Weren't able to get the decisive goal there.
Yeah, it sounds just like the whole thing was a goalkeeper's worst nightmare.
Yes. None of the goals were really our keeper's fault, but obviously it does suck to get scored on 4 times.
Yeah, it really does. And now we're going to talk about, obviously, men's soccer and how Northwestern's been really good in men's soccer. Is Northwestern really a powerhouse in women's soccer, or is this more of a brutal defeat?
This year is more of a brutal defeat. Northwestern hasn't had the greatest record so far this season. That was actually their first win.
Oh, wow, really?
Yeah, you could see Concordia was the better team for most of that game. It was just that 10-minute span just it all fell apart for a little bit.
Yeah.
See, after that happened, it was all Concordia again. Scored mm-hmm. two goals back right away. Controlled a lot of the game. Had more than double the shots of Northwestern.
And not to mention you scored the only goal in the first half.
Exactly. Controlled the first half as well. Just that 10 minutes. Sometimes all it takes,
away.
They just fell asleep the start of the second half, and they paid for it.
Yeah. Yeah, I think some people sometimes when they watch soccer, they sit back and realize, you know, they're like, they sit back and they're looking, man, this is so boring. I don't think a lot of people realize the incredible talent that it takes to keep a soccer game boring like that.
Mm-hmm.
Because all it takes is you sleep at a wheel for, like you said, like 10 minutes, and things can get out of hand really quickly, especially against, you know, obviously this is a very, very competitive conference game.
Absolutely. Any GPAC game, you know, our coach always tells us that you got to have the mindset that you can beat anyone, but also that anyone can beat you.
Yeah.
Especially in this conference where you see upsets all the time. There's
sure.
no guarantees in the GPAC.
Yeah.
So, yeah, unfortunate for them to get that loss there, but they did have a bright moment on Saturday when we were away to York. So both the men and the women played there. We'll touch on the women's game. They end up getting the 2-1 win. They actually went down 1-0 in the first half. They pulled it back, a goal from Kirsten Gardner once again,
yep.
to tie it up 1-1 going into halftime. And then we had Hannah Haas, not a name we've heard
yeah.
as much on,
yeah.
on the podcast, but she got the game winner.
How about it?
Yeah, it was very nice to see game winner against York. And yeah, so they were riding high into the Northwestern game off that win. Obviously, you come back from 1-0 down to win it 2-1. That always feels pretty good.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, unfortunately, weren't able to get it done there yesterday, but be back at it against Dort on Saturday.
Another conference matchup. And,
absolutely.
And it's getting to that time of the year where conference matchups are very abundant. We're going to see that in volleyball. Volleyball, they've only played one game since our last episode, but boy, it was a big one. So we kind of hyped it up in our last episode. Midland, they're ranked number 20 this season when the game happened. There's been a new coaches poll since then. But at the time, it was number 3 Concordia versus number 20 Midland. Midland, obviously, with the history of knocking the Bulldogs out of the conference tournament last year and what was probably one of the bigger upsets of the tournament. However, it's in Seward, and the Bulldogs handle business. It was a huge 3-1 victory versus number 20 Midland. Really impressive was the second set. There were 17 kills and 0 errors. It's good for 500 hitting percent. Yeah, really good. But it's kind of been the woes that we've seen the whole season where there's just been one clunker of a set. And in this game, it was the third set. Hitting percentage dropped to triple zero with 8 kills and 8 errors. And that was the one set of the day that Midland, the Warriors, were able to salvage. However, And building on top of that, it kind of got rocky a little bit in the fourth and final set, where the Bulldogs got down 10-11. But a 7-0 run salvaged the set. They were able to go on, win it big. The one mainstay throughout the game, obviously you have those big team fluctuations in hitting percentage where you go from 500 to 0. But Ella Waters led the way in terms of hitting percentage. She was tied for first with 11 kills, and she hit 320 on the day. And it's always a... Obviously, the Midland matchup is super big for Concordia fans and for the volleyball team. It's a huge conference matchup. But for Kaya Scott on the team, a junior who's been here for a while, it's always a bit more interesting for her because it's a battle of the twins.
Bit of a family affair.
A family affair. Across the net, playing for the Warriors is Kaylin Scott. She plays for Midland. So obviously you've got this huge matchup, the rivalry between Concordia and Midland, but then you've got this, you know, Hatfields and McCoys type situation going on with that. Scott did really good in that game in the Battle of the Scots, 9 kills, 3 digs. But the real big name, this happened obviously after the game, was Gabby Nordiker. We talked about her on the last podcast where she had eclipsed 500 career blocks, something the third Bulldog in history of the illustrious program to ever do that. And she did it in pretty convincing fashion that game against Mount Marty. She had 6 blocks. She added another 3 versus Midland. So due to her efforts, due to the milestone, she was given the GPAC Defensive Player of the Week.
Yeah, I'd say very deserved for that one.
Very deserved, because you see a lot of these. We had one with Joey Gabranski last baseball season, where he was, you know, getting hits left and right, getting homers left and right, and then a big time player passes a big time milestone, and they'll just, you know, hey, here's a GPAC player of the week or whatever. But this one, you can say, had the milestone, obviously, of the 500 career blocks, which not a lot of people get to. And also, she was just straight up dominant at the net for these past two games. So,
absolutely,
very well-deserving GPAC defensive player of the week there for Gabby Nordiker. And they actually get another break. So they are, again, this is podcast being filmed on Thursday, so they did not have a game Wednesday. And the next game is going to be September 21st. It's a home game, Saturday, 3 p.m. in Seward. It's going to be a big one, another conference matchup. Obviously, we're talking that point in the season where it's all conference games. This one specifically is going to be against Hastings College. And it's, you know, obviously you can say this about every game here on out, but it's going to be a big one. Looking to improve. They're still undefeated in the GPAC, so looking to go to 4-0, which would be leading the GPAC, get them at the top of those record books, put them in good position for the postseason.
For sure.
Yeah, and then, obviously, riding that same trend of conference games, we had a big conference, talking about conference wins, too, going back to the men's side of soccer. Men played Northwestern. How'd that go?
Yeah, it went really well. I mean, we talked on the previous episodes about things haven't been going quite as we planned this season so far.
Yeah.
Lots of ties, actually.
Lots of draws.
A couple tough losses to some good opponents. We actually saw that again on Saturday. So we'll touch on York real quick, and then we'll go back to the Northwestern game, because I think it paints a good story of actually how important this Northwestern win was for us.
Yeah.
But against York, an opponent who hasn't been the strongest historically, so, you know, you go in expecting to win that game.
Mm-hmm.
We actually scored in the first minute of the game, DeAndre Williams off a free kick.
So you're feeling pretty good.
Feeling pretty good. Everyone's like, oh, score in the first minute, you know, easy day, right?
Yeah.
Was not an easy day after that.
Oh, no.
It was not... The play wasn't going very well for us. It was bad touches, bad passes, bad decisions from pretty much everyone on the field. There wasn't really one guy you could point to and say, like, oh, he messed that game up for us. Or
it was a team effort.
A team implosion, you might say. Which was all culminated in the goal that York actually scored it. They didn't even actually score the goal. Ended up being an own goal from us, just us playing around the back, trying to switch it back through our goalkeeper, and just a misplaced pass ended up going right into our own goal.
You hate to see it.
Yeah, it just kind of, that one stung quite a bit.
Sure.
You know, we've been struggling to score goals, you know, keep them out, and that one just kind of sucked.
Yeah.
We kind of shot ourselves in the foot like that.
Yeah, and the end score, obviously, that ended up being a pretty big deal.
1-1, yep. So we ended up tying that game. Honestly, at this point, ties feel almost worse than losses, just with how many times we've tied.
When you've accumulated so many, I bet they would.
Yeah, but things changed yesterday. So going into the game against Northwestern, like you mentioned, the reigning GPAC tournament champions, so obviously a bit, historically, a better team than York.
Yeah, and there's something on the line, too. You got the conference matchup.
Definitely. Conference record matters a lot. It's also... It's kind of us proving ourselves, because we kind of crashed out of the tournament last year when we felt we had a decent chance of winning the whole thing.
Yeah.
So to be able to face the team that won the whole tournament last year was pretty exciting. We've had a lot of team meetings about team culture, championship mentality.
Mm-hmm.
So we had a pretty good mindset going into this one, and I think it showed. Right from the start, we were creating chances. We were moving the ball well. Before the game, Coach Whitus was telling us, just do the simple things well.
Mm-hmm.
He said, great teams don't necessarily do the most insane or impressive things. They just do the fundamentals better than anyone else.
That's right.
Talking about executing your passes, making good decisions mostly.
Being
in position is one of the biggest ones.
Don't score own goals.
That too. But just talking about the effort, like being in position is something that doesn't take any skill. It just takes the effort to do it. And I think we really showed that. Defensively, we were quite solid in the game. Obviously, didn't give up a single goal. I believe we were actually even on shots in that game. It was 11-11 at the end of the game.
Oh, wow.
Our keeper had a couple nice saves. Nolan, he had 5.
Okay.
In the game. Not all of them, you know, some were outside the box, but he made some pretty nice ones as well to keep us in it.
A save's a save.
Yep. And then midway through the second half, Martin Herrera... He ended up getting played through from Jared Henson and ended up scoring a lovely goal from right on the edge of the box.
How about
it? On the left side, and he hit it on the ground into the bottom right corner to put us up 1-0, and then held on to that for the end of the game.
Yeah.
It's actually pretty pretentious towards the end. We actually got a red card.
Oh, no.
With 3 minutes left.
Oh, no.
It's quite interesting how it happened, actually. So we made, you know, we're up 1-0 with 3 minutes left, so we're going to sub some defenders in to shore up the back line.
Yeah, sure.
Because they're going to be sending a lot of numbers forward. So we sub in three players, but somehow we only took two off the field.
Oh.
So we were playing... The refs let the game start again.
12 men on the field?
So we had 12 people on the field.
Well, that's no good.
Which was a really big issue because, and I actually just learned this last night because of it, apparently whoever was the guy who was supposed to be coming off, he actually gets a yellow card.
Well, now, how do they determine that? How do they determine who was supposed to be coming off?
I think they must have talked to the people... On the side, because we check
doing
it,
the subs.
You have to check in.
Oh, okay.
So either that or something else. I don't know all the details on that one.
Yeah.
But then determining that Oliver Benson was the player who was supposed to be off.
Oh, no. And he already had collected a yellow card
earlier in the game.
Uh-oh.
So he ended up getting his second yellow and getting...
Yeah, tossed.
Getting the red, yeah.
Now, does that come with a suspension?
He'll have a one-game suspension, yeah. So
Yikes.
He'll miss the game against Dort. Fortunately for us, however, we didn't have to play down a man.
Okay.
Because
he was the 12th man.
He was considered a bench player at that point.
Yeah.
He was supposed to be on the bench.
Because that's where he should have been, yeah.
Right, exactly. So anytime a team official or someone on the bench gets a red card, they just have to leave. You don't have to yank another player off the field.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Thankfully, we were able to finish the game out with 11 players.
There you go.
Even then, it was still pretty crazy. You know, they were just launching long balls in, getting lots of numbers forward, just a bit nerve-wracking.
Yeah.
Especially the angles on the field where, you know, they might take a shot that's going 20 yards wide, but it looks pretty close from where you're standing.
Yeah, and I think every shot on goal, even every shot in that situation, a big game like that, you hold your breath when the ball's in the air a little bit.
Absolutely. And, you know, just after, you know, the results we've had, you know, against Bellevue, we got scored on with 40 seconds left. We were just praying that wouldn't happen again.
Yep.
But we ended up holding out, got
Huge
to ring
win.
The bell at the end of the game.
Huge win.
Lots of fun.
Hopefully get the momentum going.
Absolutely. And just like the women, we are up against Dort away this weekend on Saturday. So hoping to get some revenge against
a little revenge game, right?
Yeah, they were the team that knocked us out of the GPAC tournament last year, so... Yeah, hoping to get that done.
Yeah.
But speaking of winning teams.
Yeah, winning teams.
Let's talk a little
football,
bit about football away.
Back over 500, 2-1 overall, 2-1 in the GPAC. Obviously, every game is going to be in the GPAC. They won. We won 42-7 versus Dakota Westland. Shouldn't abbreviate. And probably one of the more convincing offensive performances, probably the most convincing, it's only been three games, most convincing offensive performance of the season so far, 641 total yards, close to 340 yards on the ground. You'd read Jake Knabel's article. It's really hard to find this online because I was trying to after the game. And Jake Knabel, I think he just has the record books in his office somewhere.
Probably.
I couldn't find... They have all the records of, you know, who leads passing yards and stuff like that. But if you find the per-game records, I couldn't find it. But according to Jake Knabel's article, this is the most offensive yards in a game for the Bulldogs. And obviously with that, you're going to get some accolades. This week it was Mark Arp. He got GPAC Offensive Player of the Week. He ran the ball 32 times, 210 yards, with three touchdowns. Obviously you have Carlos Collazo in there. He picked up a bulk of the other 330-some-odd rushing yards. So it was really just a convincing, good all-around win. You look at the defensive side of things, Dak West had 350 total yards, which isn't really congruent with their score, but that means the defense, they did a really good job on Saturday of holding up in the red zone. I think they got to the red zone maybe three or four times, but they were able only to score once, so really good job by the defense, bending don't break, and it was just very convincing, very sound win. I think you're talking about, you know, with soccer, going back to the fundamentals, I think everyone did their fundamentals well. And it's really good to hit that stride before you hit the heart of the conference schedule, which is going to be coming up here in a few weeks. The next game is going to be versus Briarcliff. That'll be in Sioux City this Saturday. The kickoff is going to be at 1 p.m. And then after that, you got homecoming. So we'll be at home versus Dort in 2 weeks. So, again, it's really exciting, especially to have a game like this where everything just seemed to click right before those big games against Dort and Northwestern. So looking forward to it. Really, really good team win in Mitchell on Saturday.
Yeah, absolutely. And the ending score is 42-7. So that's
42-7.
Obviously, you can probably towards the end of the game get some more rotation in there.
Yeah,
which saves those bodies for
it. Does it does
for the next couple games.
And it's been interesting. I talked to a few guys on the team about this. Is we haven't had a game so far that I think this could be a good thing or a bad thing depending on how we respond. We haven't had a game so far this season. Waldorf, Morningside, Dak West. Where the outcome of the game wasn't not decided in by halftime.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's a very interesting dynamic. It obviously changes how people act in halftime. You had a big lead against Waldorf. You had a big lead against Dak West. You were down big against Morningside. And it does change the dynamic of these games as they go into the third and the fourth quarter. What I really like about the team is we kept our foot on the gas in the third and the fourth quarter. So I think that says something about our conditioning. It'll just be interesting, maybe in this Briarcliff game, but I think certainly if you're going to win them in this Dort game, in this Northwestern game, to see how this team really holds up in a true blow-for-blow fist fight. We haven't really had that yet.
You haven't had the test of two teams going at it all the way down to the last few minutes?
Yes, yeah. Yes. We've done a good job, don't get me wrong, we've done a good job, especially in Morningside and especially in Dak West, of keeping our foot on the pedal, sticking to our game plan, getting points on the board. But it's going to be interesting to see how that dynamic looks at halftime when it's, you know, not when the outcome hasn't been truly decided one way or the other.
Absolutely, yeah.
And then last bit of miscellaneous, obviously those are the big four sports right now, but last bit of miscellaneous, cross country.
Yeah, so they haven't had any meets since the last time we talked about them, but they are going to be back in action this Saturday, so we'll have some updates on that for the next episode. So stay tuned for all of that.
Yeah. Is there a way to really like spectate that? Can you go to a cross country meet and watch these things? Do they stream them? How does do you
usually
show
they,
up?
They won't be streamed usually, but yeah, usually cross country meets are totally free to go to. So yeah, if you want to go watch a cross country meet, just show up. They're pretty fun to be at, honestly.
Yeah, I mean,
there's lots of people there usually.
What's the worst thing you lose? If you see somebody this weekend running around campus in Concordia gear, give them a shout, give them a holler. You're either cheering on the cross country team or you're helping somebody on their weight loss journey.
And absolutely.
Either one of those, I think that's a win.
For sure.
But that'll be all for this episode of Talking Dogs. Be sure to stay tuned in the future for weekly podcasts on the CUNY Sewer website and on Spotify. From Cohen Carpenter and Kai Ulbrich and everybody at the CUNY Sewer newspaper, have a good day and go Dogs!